Good morning. Okay, I'm looking for a Kleenex. Not for now, but for later. I got all dressed and ready to leave the house. And I said, well, Quinn, how do I look? And she goes, I don't know, Mom. It's kind of risky. And I said, the all white? And she goes, no, not the outfit, the eyes. And I said, what's wrong with my eyes? And she's like, you have a lot of makeup on your eyes. And I was like, I do, but what's that got to do with anything? And she's like, I mean, if I know you, when you talk about the Lord, you cry a lot. And I was like, I do cry a lot. And she's like, so I'm saying it's risky. Dark eye makeup, white. So I brought Kleenexes because it could happen. Maybe not, but maybe. Oh, man, that worship was so good. It was so good. Worship is always great, right? Because you can't mess up praising the Lord. Like, there is no good worship or bad worship. It's the position of the heart to worship the Lord. And so I love worship. All different kinds of worship. I just love worship. But when you get to hear worship with people that have really worked on their skill and they've stewarded that, and you have that type of worship, and you feel just like that, like the anointing of the Lord, like it's so good. So thank you for sharing that gift with us and being here with us. And I can't wait to jump right back into it whenever we get through this part. So, all right, let's go ahead and throw some slides up. Let me kind of walk you through my process of what I'm going to be sharing this morning. Farrell asked me, I believe a couple months ago, to share. And I just kept sensing this same phrase over and over and over in my spirit when I would think about sharing. And I felt like I would hear the Lord ask me this question. He would say, let my people go so that, dot, dot, dot. And then I wouldn't hear anything else. And I would go, okay, so Moses, we're in Exodus now. Tell me more. You know, and I would just hear the Holy Spirit, let my people go so that what? And I think when we think of that, let my people go, it's a statement. And there's like a little period right there at the end. Let my people go, period. But if you look at it in scripture, that's not the end of the sentence. It's let my people go so that they may come and worship me. And I've just thought about this so much because I thought, oh, let my people go so that they can be free. Free from their bondage, free from their sin, free from their suffering. Let my people go so that I can fulfill the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let my people go because I've heard their cries and I've heard their suffering and I'm responding to them. But it tells us that God was saying, let my people go, not for the sake of just being free, but let my people go because the purpose for them in their freedom is that they would come and worship me. And it's so important to remember, like that's such a simple thing, but I think we live a life that is full of so much freedom, too much freedom maybe. You know, like I can't tell you how many times I've been like, oh, I put the kids to bed. I can't wait to watch TV. What will I watch? And I've spent the whole time I allotted to watching something, to searching for the thing that I wanted to watch, and I never found anything. 40 minutes went by, and I was like, well, that was exhausting, and then I just go to bed. Like, too much freedom, right? And so I believe the Lord is sharing at least certainly with me, and I want to share with you, that he has granted us this beautiful freedom as Christians. And in that freedom, there's also tremendous purpose and reason, and that is that we would come to him and bring our gift and give our praise and our thanksgiving and to remember him. So we're going to go through this some in scripture. So let's start. We're going to primarily stay in Exodus. So if you have your Bible, we're going to start in chapter 5. And we're going to go kind of quickly through here. I'm just trying to point out to you how frequently we're seeing this happen as Moses is working with the Lord to see the Israelites freed from about 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And it says, Exodus 5, verse 1, "Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, 'This is what the Lord says. The God of Israel says, let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness.'" Okay, so it only says that one time. The rest of the time it says to worship me. But if you look up festival, it actually means like a one-day celebration. So Moses, being moved and led of the Lord through signs and wonders and miracles, is saying to Pharaoh, "This is what my God is saying. This is what he expects you to do. Let my people come and worship me." And then in 7:16, he says, "The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now, you haven't listened." And then we also have, I'm going to kind of go through these a little quickly, Anne. We don't need to read all of them because they all say the same thing. They all say, "Let my people go so that you can come worship me in the desert." So this is mentioned 7 times in the New Testament. This being freed so that they could follow their God and give him worship and praise. So let's skip all the way through Exodus, Anne, and put up the slide that God desires worship from his people. So simple. So simple, but so profound. And each of us have to realize that if we are Christ-like ones, if we are Christians, this is a part of our life, period. This isn't, our worship is not, if you feel like it, maybe you do, maybe you don't, maybe on a good day, maybe if you don't have other plans, maybe if everything is just right, maybe we'll offer up to the Lord our worship. It's not like that. If you are following him and he is your king, he is your savior, you worship him. It's so simple, but it's not negotiable. It's not a negotiable thing. Worship is the part of this whole Sunday morning service where God actually gets something out of this. Have you ever thought about that? We come here and I love coming together. I love seeing you. I love talking. I love serving. I love everything about it. We have one of the best preachers here. Isn't he so good? He's really so good. He's my favorite preacher, which thank goodness, because what would I do if he wasn't? What would I do? I can't believe that we've been married almost 19 years, and I'm like, I have been all over the world with this man. I have heard so many sermons and preachers and pastors, and they're all good in their own ways, but I'm like, but you're the best. He's the best to me. I guess that's the way it should be. But I'm so thankful I like him that much, or I don't know. But we come together and we're receiving all the benefit of gathering together. Socially, we come together, we receive word. God already knows this. You know, like there's nothing in that for him, but when we come together and we worship, we are taking our eyes off ourselves momentarily, and we're turning our eyes to him, and we're pausing, and we're saying, thank you. Thank you. It's really that simple. He is so worthy and so deserving of so much more than we will ever give him. And we take a pause in our week and we come together, and it's not about how the worship sounds or how the worship makes us feel. It's about that we've set aside time where we have habits and customs of gathering together and coming before him together and saying to him, thank you. You are a good God. I remember the things you've done for me. I remember your goodness. I remember the things that you've seen me through. And we give God glory and we give God praise. And Sunday mornings should be the wildest place. It should be so wild because I know how I feel sometimes when I think, when I ponder how good he has been. And there is never enough time on Sunday mornings. There is never enough time for me to even scrape through the top layer of how good he has been to me. And so worship is so important, which is why whenever we get through this, we're going to jump back into worship at the end. So quickly, let me say, what is worship? And the definition of worship is the feeling or the expression of reverence and adoration. Reverence means deep respect. Adoration means deep love and respect. So our worship to him is the feeling and the expression of deep love and deep respect. And these are relational words. You know what I mean? You have to have a relationship and a story and a testimony and a love. Something has to have happened in order for you to open your mouth and give worship and have a deep sense of love and respect to God. And it's like a marriage. You know, you can be married, you can legally be married, but there's a big difference between a marriage that is a legal marriage versus a marriage that is full of the expression of love and respect and adoration. Do you know what I'm saying? They're both marriages, but one is far superior to the other. One is a reflection of the heart, that your heart has been through something and you want to share that. You're like overflowing. And what I want for us as believers is for us to not just receive the benefit. Like, I don't want to just be saved. I don't want to just go to heaven, because when we get to heaven, we're all going to be doing this anyway. When we're in heaven, we are going to be so overwhelmed and in awe of his glory that we're going to be excellent at the expression of worship as a fellowship. But here and now, I get to choose if I'm going to do this. I choose the days when I'm like, I don't know, I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. Maybe I don't love that worship song. Maybe I had a hard morning with the kids. Or there's times when I'm like, Lord, regardless and in spite of difficulty or in spite of the conditions not being what I deem to be fit, God, you are worthy. You are always worthy. You are always worthy. So it really is a worship is so connected to the heart of a person. And I want our hearts to be touched and transformed and to remember how good he is, that worshiping him becomes easy. It should be so easy to open our mouths and tell him that we're thankful. Just thank you. You know, I wouldn't describe myself or my personality as enthusiastic. I don't know how well you all do or don't know me yet, but by personality, I'm much more introverted, much more quiet, much more introspective. And so I felt for a very long time being in congregations where there was a lot of high praise and expression and all of that, I just would think to myself, well, that's not me. That's not my personality. These, look around the room, you can see every extrovert there is, you know? Here's the, you know, my husband, we would go into a new place and my husband has met everyone in 10 minutes. During worship, he's jumping 6 feet off the ground. Like, he's very passionate and very enthusiastic, which by design, he's made that way, which is lovely and wonderful. And I just didn't feel like that. Actually felt like sitting and being quiet and whatever. And I'm not here to judge anyone's expression of worship. That's between you and the Lord. You know if you have touched heaven this morning with your worship and given God something, right? So I don't say that to say we're looking around to see like who is giving God their best. I say that to say because it's such a choice. And I had to really practice learning how to worship the Lord. And all I would do would, when I would come into worship and that environment would start, all I would do would say thank you. That's it. Sometimes I'm not even singing the words. I'm just thanking him. I'm just remembering all that he's done for me. And so if maybe you're like me and you thought, oh, I'm not like that. I don't express myself like that. I don't show my love like that. I would just challenge you to please at least open your mouth and give him thanks. Just thank you. Thank you. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to all these things. And you feel yourself being full, more full. It's crazy in worship. The more that you give of yourself, somehow the more comes into you to give him. Okay, what I do want to do is, and if we can go down to Exodus 14, I found this verse to really strike me in a way that I wanted to mention. So Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? So the Egyptians, I don't know when the last time you read Exodus. That book is wild. It's crazy. It reads like a thriller. I've been rereading Exodus, and I'm like, this is not a child's book. You know, this is not for children. There's heaping piles of frogs. There's hail falling from the sky so hard it's killing everything and has stripped everything bare. There's blood everywhere. People are crying. People are dying, except for the Israelites who are in Goshen. So the Egyptians are, it's crazy. The book is wild. But at this point in chapter 14, things have gotten so bad, the Egyptians are finally like, get out of here. All of you, just go. Leave us to our sorrow. They've all lost someone in their family from the curse, the death angel that came by. And they're finally told to leave. They plunder Egypt, and they're fleeing away from Pharaoh. And at this point, they've probably made it to the Red Sea, and they see the Egyptians behind them, and they're totally freaking out. And they're saying, didn't we say to you, Moses, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And when I read this, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Sharon, we need to be very careful that as followers of Jesus, we do not get accustomed to being in proximity to God. And we've seen signs and wonders and miracles. We're following, we're going with the flow, we're going with the plan, we're going with the remodels, we're going with church planting, we're going with the flow because we've seen the greatness of what God can do. And yet in their hearts, they actually wanted God to leave them alone at this point. And something about that really, I had to think about it for a really long time, that I don't ever want to be a person who wants to come to church, wants to be a part of the big picture, wants to go with the flow. But really in my heart, no one will ever know. I actually just want to come in here and leave. I just want to come in here and then go to lunch. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't want to get so accustomed to the privilege of coming into his presence. That I don't actually think about him. Does that make sense? And sometimes we read scripture, and for me, sometimes I read scripture and I make a judgment or a, I would never do that kind of thing. How could Peter do that? How could Thomas need to see the scars in Jesus' hand to believe that this had just happened? Like, how could, and I'm reading scripture through the lens of, it would be different if it was me type thing. And we all have to be very careful that we don't take for granted God, that we know him, that we have the opportunity to come into his presence. I don't want to get accustomed to, like, at this point, they have seen and heard so much, the Israelites. They have been in slavery for generations. They've seen the strongest ruler that had ever been on the earth run them out because his son had died. They had seen people starving and dying because God was their deliverer and he was going to fulfill his word. They were following him through the desert with smoke and fire. They were in, like, we think to ourselves, Lord, if I ever saw you do anything remotely cool, I would serve you all the days of my life, right? And yet, they're this close, and in their hearts, they would rather go back. They would rather go back and die because they hadn't learned a new thing. I don't want that to ever be us. I don't want that to ever be Bethel. I want us to steward our hearts very well so that we ask the Lord, what's going on? What's really going on in here? Why is it hard for me to come into your presence and not open my mouth and give you praise? Why? Why is that hard for me? And the Holy Spirit, he will show you. He will show you. He will cause you to be free. That's the beautiful thing about following the Lord, is there is transformation. There is. It's wild. Sometimes the Lord moves and delivers someone from something in a moment, and sometimes the transformation is happening slowly and invisibly, and it takes years, and before you know it, you don't hunger for the things that you used to hunger for. Does that make sense? So, in Exodus, well, after chapter 14, the Israelites are going to walk through the sea on dry land. Incredible. So incredible. But the point that I want to touch on is that on chapter 15, as soon as they had been separated from their enemies and their enemies were destroyed, the first thing they did was sing a song. I just wanted to point that out because I thought, man, after everything they've been through, the first thing it notes is that Miriam starts singing a song to the Lord about what he had just done for them. You can read that for yourself. It's chapter 15. It's lovely. I already touched on this a little bit. In John 20:29, and I don't know if I, look at that. There it is. It just says, Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he's been crucified, and he's reappearing to Thomas in this verse. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those that have not seen me and yet have believed. And so I wanted to say that, can you do the next slide, Anne? Nope. Maybe I didn't put it in there. Nope, I don't know. I wanted to use this verse to just point out that worship brings nearness and it brings blessing. Because here he's saying to his disciples, because you see me, because I can show you, Thomas, that I was actually in fact crucified, you believe me because you have proof and evidence of that now and I've appeared before you. But what he's saying to us, what Jesus is leaving in these scriptures for us to have, is there's a blessing on those that have never seen me in the flesh. There's faith. That faith pleases God, deeply pleases God. I want to be blessed. Is that selfish? Lord, I want your blessing in my life. If your word says that faith pleases you, I want to be a person of faith. Lord, if you're saying that I can walk in blessing, I want to walk in blessing. If your word says that there's a blessing for anyone who reads the book of Revelations, I'm going to read the book of Revelations because I don't understand it. But if you're telling me there's blessing for reading it, I want to do it. And I feel like Jesus is reminding us and letting us know that worship is an act of faith and worship creates blessing. I'm going to read for you just this beautiful psalm. It's Psalm 100. And David, it's actually called the Psalm for Giving Thanks. And actually, I don't mind if you guys want to go ahead and come back up. We're probably still a few minutes away, but Psalm 100, for giving thanks. David says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Joy, gladness, joyful. Thanksgiving, praise, thanks, praise, good. These are all like such expressive terms. And what I want is for all of us to enter his presence prepared with thanksgiving and praise for him. That's what I want. That's just what I want. I just love him. I just love the Lord. I'm happy. He's made me so happy. I wanna worship the Lord with you. Is that so hard? I want to come into his presence with you and all be in agreement and lift his name up because he's been so good. He's been so good. This is a special weekend for me because it was a year ago this weekend that I was headed to Florida to get our son. For those of you that have been with us, And for those of you that haven't, my husband and I and our two daughters relocated here to pastor in December of 2023. So we've not been here quite 2 years. But him coming into our lives is huge. I feel like I have to remember what the Lord has done. Like, it's in our nature to actually forget. Has anybody noticed that? How easily we forget things? And sometimes I have this like incredible encounter and experience and breakthrough moment with the Lord, and I'm like, this is enough to keep me until the day I die. If the Lord never did anything else for me, this thing that he has done is enough for me to be full and overflowing. It is so wild. And this was just one of those things. I mean, my husband and I have been married almost 19 years, and we've adopted all three of our children. And from the beginning, when we knew we were going to grow our family through adoption, we felt like the Lord told us he would give us a son. Now, and I'm not saying that because I think having a son is somehow superior to having a daughter. I just need to say that. I love having girls, and I am still very much figuring out how to have a boy. I love these girls, but the Lord, we felt the Lord make a promise to us that he would give us a son. And it was what it was. And I can tell you, in 13 years, there have been four occasions where Farrell and I were supposed to bring home a son, and it didn't happen. And it was hard. It was so hard. Before Finley, we were matched with a woman expecting a baby through an agency, and we walked with her through that whole thing. We went to every appointment. We had a nursery. We did all this legal stuff. And she had this baby, and she chose to parent him. And that's wonderful. It's hard to be upset when a woman chooses to raise her child. That's good. But it broke our hearts, and we had to start all over again. And then suddenly we get Finley in our lives. And then a couple years in, we were like, let's grow our family again. And similar scenario, the agency matches us with a woman expecting a boy. Same thing, go to all the appointments with her, which is not typical, by the way. If you're not part of the adoption world, it isn't always like that. But we were matched with women that had selected our family, met with our family, and we were walking with them through this journey of them having their babies. And the same thing happened the second time. She went to the hospital, and we'd never heard from her again. The agency, it was just done. This happened four times. And every time, it just broke my heart in a different way. It got, like, I knew the Lord was good and he did not change. But it's hard. It's hard to walk out that when you're like, man, I'm really clinging to this thing that I thought you said, but maybe I was wrong, because why is this so hard? Why, this shouldn't be so hard. And so when the last boy, that was 3 years ago in September, when the fourth boy did not come home to us, I was like, I don't think I can ever do this again. I just ran out of grit. Does that make sense? Do you ever feel, sometimes you want something so bad, you know that no matter what, you're gonna have it, type thing. And I had been through this so many times, and my heart was not confused, but I wanted to stay away from getting confused, because I was like, Lord, no matter what happens, I'm always going to love you. I'm always going to serve you. I'm always going to walk with you. I just don't know what happened here, type of thing. So when the last one happened, I was like, Lord, I don't have the grit anymore to do this. and you can change that. I know you can help me, and I know we could do this, but I think that I'm not going to try and do this anymore. And that's what we did. I got rid of everything. We moved, we came here, and I started living in this new place, accepting that I don't know what happened. Maybe I was wrong, but it was going to be fine. That God was still good, still worthy of my praises. So thankful I would come in here. You know, we left everything behind. My mom actually passed weeks before we moved, and I'm here, and I'm like, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. You're so faithful. I don't know where we're going. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what the next season looks like, but if I know you, I know you don't change. Thank goodness you do not change, because I feel like I'm changing all the time. And I would still come in here, Lord, just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then so random, Farrell and I were not prepared in any legal way to do another adoption. Nothing. And we get a call that there's a baby in Florida, and this mother has asked for us by name. Yeah, did you know that part? Called us. Had her mother call us. And it was on a Friday. And I was like, she must be confused. She's overwhelmed. She can parent. Maybe she just needs help. She probably needs resources. She's probably scared. I've done this so many times. I'm sure this is how this is going to go. And talk to her at the hospital on the phone, because I'm like, there's no way this is about to happen. And she was like, this is it. It's you or nothing. And that was a year ago. Went to Florida. It should take us, like, when you adopt a child, you have to have a home study. There is a very legal process in order that you have to go through to make that child transition into your home. That process normally takes 8 to 11 weeks. We got done everything, and I say this so that the Lord receives glory, because we could not have orchestrated this. Every appointment, every interview, every blood work, every background check, every fingerprint, everything we needed for all four of us happened in 5 days. It was the craziest 5 days. From before the sun came up to well into the night, scanning papers, sending things, doing stuff. We worked for 5 days straight, and I already had a ticket that weekend to go to Florida. Can you believe that? I already had a ticket to go to Florida Memorial Day weekend. I used the same ticket to go get my kid that I had booked months ago. Isn't that crazy? And here we are, a year later, and 13 years later, I can't even believe it. There's sometimes I'm like, when you've spent 13 years wondering what is going to happen? What is this going to look like? Did I hear the Lord? Did I not? Am I crazy? Did we mess this up? Did I mess this up somehow? And you were going to do that thing, and now something's different. 13 years, I wondered if the Lord would do this thing he said he would do, and he did. And it was a year ago this weekend. So I don't know about you, but I need more time to worship him. You know what I'm saying? I need more. I need more time to remember his goodness and his faithfulness to me. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to go back into worship. And I want you to just thank the Lord. Enjoy his presence. Enjoy his presence. But if nothing else, will you thank the Lord for me, for what he did for me? Would you give him a praise an offering, a sacrifice. Would you thank the Lord this morning for what he did for me?